If you will, to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. Question this evening being, what is the wave offering? So let's look at the Exodus 29, verses 22 through 33. We have a description. We'll also be looking in Leviticus in a while. Exodus chapter 9, beginning in verse 22, says, "Also thou shalt take of the ram the fat and the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and the right shoulder, for it is a ram of consecration, and one loaf of bread, and one cake of oiled bread, and one wafer out of the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. And thou shalt put all in the hands of Aaron, and in the hands of his sons, and shalt wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And thou shalt receive them of their hands, and burn them upon the altar for the burnt offering. For a sweet savour before the Lord, it is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And thou shalt take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration, and wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thy part. And thou shalt sanctify the breast of the wave offering, and the shoulder of the heave offering which is waved, and which is heaved up of the ram of the consecration, even of that which is for Aaron, and of that which is for his sons. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons by a statute forever from the children of Israel, for it is a heave offering, and it shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel of the sacrifice of their peace offerings, even their heave offering unto the Lord. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein, and to be consecrated in them. And that son is a priest in his stead shall put them on 7 days, when he cometh into the tabernacle of the congregation to minister in the holy place. And thou shalt take the ram of the consecration, and seethe his flesh in the holy place. And Aaron and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made to consecrate and sanctify them, but a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they are holy." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the many things that it teaches us. Thank you for the prophecy and the symbols in the Old Testament that spoke of Christ to come and verified his authenticity when he came. I ask that as we look to your word this evening, you would open our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'll admit right away, I am not an expert on the offerings. It's not really something that I have studied well. When I did study it, it was a long time ago, so I'm a little bit rusty in that area. But I will do my best this evening. The wave offering was, as the Jews were practicing it in the ceremony of offering, of making offerings, it was the part that was symbolically given to the Lord, but it was consumed by the priest. So you have different portions of the offering. Okay, we're not going to go through them all, but you had part of the offering that was consumed by fire, and part of the offering that was set aside. Nobody touched it. And then you had like the scapegoat. He was offered to God, but he was left alive, and he was sent out into the wilderness, and nobody touched him. excuse me. But the wave offering is something that was symbolically given to the Lord, but it was consumed by the priest. So you brought your offering to God, and as you see here, there's a description of how the offering is portioned out. Part of it is offered to be consumed upon the altar, and part of it, They raise up, and even what was put on the altar was also, it was held up in front of the people. So, Let's say it was your offering that you're bringing to the Lord for either the yearly sacrifice or a sin offering, whatever it might have been. And so the priest, you know, he did all the ceremony over it. He slaughtered it. He prepared it. And then before he would do anything further, he would offer it up. He would hold it up before God. So it was a part of the ceremony for them that really brought an understanding of the presence of God or an awareness of the presence of God. excuse me. Probably the most direct thing that we do in regards to bringing awareness of the presence of God typically in our services is prayer. You know, we open with prayer, and we pray over different things. We pray usually at the beginning and end of the message, and we're communicating with God the necessity that we see of His presence among us. The wave offering was was even more of an awareness of God's presence. So here you bring your offering, and the priest, he does all his preparation, and then he's holding it up before you and all the congregation of Israel, offering it to God. And so it's an awareness that this that we're about to sacrifice, this is for you. Now, for the priest, as you see the wave offering in this portion of Scripture, what was not consumed upon the altar was for the priest's necessities. That was for them to live on. That was for their table. There were certain cuts off of the ram or the lamb that they were to have. There was these loaves of bread that were to be lifted up, and then they were put in a basket and set aside. It says by the door of the tabernacle. It was for the priests later on. So here we see one aspect. I guess the main thing for the Jews was bringing the awareness of God. It wasn't just you came to the temple, you did a sacrifice, the priest did his thing, now you're good, you go home. No, it's the priest takes your sacrifice, prepares it before you, and then in front of you, he's holding it up to God. So the idea is to increase your awareness that, hey, this is not just something we're doing right here, but this is for God. And then as you go and look at how God provides for the priests, and you have to go into further passages, but the portion that is for the priests is like God gives back to His priests, His ministers, those who are taking care of the ministration of the temple. They're the intercessions between you and God in the Old Testament. And so it was part of the ceremony where it's identified that it's given to God and that God gives back to His ministers who are taking care of your needs there. There's a similarity in our offerings with this. When we bring an offering to the Lord, most of the offerings that we do in our day is just in the form of money. And we put it in the box, and it's between us and God, but we're giving it for the necessities of the church. We're giving it to maintain His house. We're giving it to meet the needs of those who minister to us. We're giving it to meet the needs of missionaries that we want to see carry out the gospel. We're giving it to meet needs as the church sees, if there's a need in the community or amongst the brethren, and the church comes together and says, yes, we believe the Lord would have us to meet this need. These are ways that those offerings are redispersed to meet a need as a way that God is providing for His people. But I want you to look more specifically at the Christ in the offering. Now, all the offerings, all the different kinds of offerings, point to Christ in some manner. Now, it is an amazing study when you go through it. Like I said, I went through it some, like, I don't know, 15 years ago. So it's been a while. But it is really neat. And it's something that I've always meant to study more and commit to memory, because it is amazing how every single one of the offerings holds a symbolism, holds a prophecy of the Christ to come. He is our sin offering. He is the perfect Lamb. And in His death, in His life, death, and resurrection, He fulfilled all of the offerings. He in His person enacted, if you will, all of the offerings. And it is really amazing. First of all, if you'll turn to John chapter 12, John chapter 12, we're going to go back to Leviticus right after this, but John chapter 12, we're going to look at the words of Christ in regards to Himself and offerings. Verses 23, John 12, 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now we all understand that He's saying He's about to be crucified. He's saying that His crucifixion, when he would die, He would rise again, and He would be the firstborn among many people, right? His death, burial, and resurrection is the initial sacrifice that allows for us to have eternal life, allows for us to be partakers of His death, allows for us to have the assurance of eternal life and the assurance of resurrection with Him. But it's interesting the words that He uses here. He pictured Himself as a corn of wheat falling into the ground and dying to bring forth much fruit. This is a parallel to the wave offering. Now, the wave offering was more involved in the Feast of Pentecost, which was the spring harvest of grain. Over in Israel, they had, I don't know, they probably still have two grain harvests a year. They have a spring harvest and a fall harvest. And in Leviticus chapter 23, it describes the Feast of Pentecost, which was the feast glorifying God for the spring harvest. We're going to look at verses 17 through 20. Then you shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And they shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And I need to back up. I started too late in the chapter. Okay, let's back up to verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf a he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And then it proceeds with the rest of it. So in Exodus we see that the wave offering is symbolically raising up before the people. This is given to God. So everybody knows what we're doing here. This is for God. Now, in the Feast of Pentecost, they use the idea of the wave offering to take the very first sheaf that is harvested and say, my crops, my yields are God's. I'm not taking anything for myself from my fields until I've given the first sheaf to God. Excuse me. And Jesus said, except the Son of Man be as a corn of wheat that falls into the ground and dies, and brings, he will bring forth much fruit. You see, Jesus is pictured here in the wave offering of the first fruits. He was lifted up for all man to see. He was raised up. He was an offering unto God, lifted up before the children of Israel, before all the world, given unto God. Excuse me. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 20 says, But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He is our first fruits. He has become the first fruits of them that slept. As the first, as the sacrifice that gave us the testament of grace, salvation by grace through his blood. He was raised up before us as a mediator between God and man. He was the final offering presented unto God for the salvation of all mankind, that he might bring all men unto himself. And when he died and he was buried and rose again, as it says here in 1 Corinthians, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So, by him, let's read a few more verses here. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Because of the first fruits of Christ being offered up before God, making a way for the Holy Spirit to dwell freely with mankind, for us to have the indwelling Spirit. Just as the offering was waved before God, and then God gave a portion of it back for the priest. He made that provision. That Christ was offered up for us, and then the Holy Spirit is given as an indwelling, within an indwelling presence for us. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. God gives back to us through the work of Christ. We're all able to come unto him. We're all able to have eternal life and promise of the resurrection. We're all able to come unto God, and we're all able to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because Christ was lifted up before all, offered unto God. And then in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Because he was lifted up, he is our life. Because he was lifted up, he made the way, then we might also be with him, appear with him in glory. But it also says here, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. Again, as a reference to the wave offering, or Christ as the wave offering. It was lifted up, awareness between you and God. It's not just the sacrifice isn't just something we do. In the Old Testament, it was a reminder. It's not just something they do. It's not just to keep things square with God. It's not just to keep your family happy or your nation happy. This is between you and God. And when God accepts the sacrifice, then we continue on with the ceremony. Christ lifted up, giving us access to the throne of God. It's not just, oh, Jesus saved me from my sin and now I'm going to go live my life. It sets your affections. Be aware that Christ was lifted up that we might have fellowship with God. He's not just our payment for sin. He is, and that's wonderful, but not just that. He gave us access to Almighty, Eternal God. He showed us the Father, he said. He made a path straight before us. But if we're looking around at other things, we won't see it, will we? The wave offering was lifted up for us to see. And also it's lifted up because we understand God is high and lifted up, right? He is above us. And so the idea is to see that offering in the upward position, that we're looking up unto God. As we see Christ, he lifts our eyes up. Yes, he bows our heart, he bows our head in shame and in humility, but he lifts up our eyes unto God because God has deemed of his own pleasure to look down upon us in mercy. So through Christ, in a sense, we meet with God eye to eye. And that's an amazing thing. I don't really know how to explain the wave offering much better than that. But that's the idea behind it. That, again, all the offerings, there's some picture of Christ. There's some portion of the work of God as Christ came, died on the cross, or as he rose again. It's all part of there. And especially there in the Feast of Pentecost, there's so many little things in what we just read about what would happen in the crucifixion. It's really amazing if you read all the symbolism that's there. I'd encourage you to get some material and study it through. Like it's Christ proved himself to be the Messiah. When he said he came to fulfill all the law and the prophets, he did. It wasn't just prophecies, but he came to fulfill all the law. That doesn't just mean he lived a sinless and perfect life. He did, but he fulfilled all the points of the law. All the little bits. The sacrifices that were specific for certain things was to show us that Christ paid for certain things. The sacrifices that were done certain ways are to show us to give us an awareness of how the many different ways that Christ is a mediator for us unto God. It's an amazing thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up to be the first fruits of the church, to draw all men unto himself, to make the path clear that any can repent and be drawn into eternity in the power of the resurrection. Lord, we thank you for setting your Son up on the cross, waved for all the world to see, that even today people have to admit what the cross stands for. Help us, Lord, as it says in Colossians, to set our affections on things above, to be looking up to the eyes of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?